What is James Bond more likely to have? Chlamydia? Or a sizable portion of luggage space dedicated to condoms?
Pick a side, stupid. Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid, a comedy debate show that covers the important issues. Now, here's your host, Sean Carter.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. I had to take the week off as I show elsewhere, but I left the show in the very capable hands of
Zach Jones! Thank you. All right, settle down. I am your substitute judge tonight, substitute host. I will be running things tonight. Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid. All right. As Sean said before, we're talking about action stars tonight. All right. I am going to explain to you tonight, for those who haven't been here, how this show works, exactly what the rules are. So we will have two comics come up onto the stage. First, it's going to go gauntlet. Then it'll go bracket style. You'll understand that when that happens. What they're going to do is they're going to get up here. There's going to be a topic for them to debate and two different sides. And like the show names tells you, they're going to pick a side, stupid. So they're going to get 1 minute for each side to debate their side. If one, you have to choose a side, and then the second person has to choose the rebutting side. Then you're going to get 30 seconds of follow-up each. And then at the end of that, I will decide the winner. I am the only person tonight who gets to decide who is the winner. I intend to do my best, and when I do my best and you agree with me, you should all cheer. Can we try that? Yes. And sometimes, though, you might not agree with me. I don't always win, despite the way you cheer for me. So if I am wrong and I get the absolute wrong winner, I want you to boo. Can you boo? Thank you. Yes. Well, that's the implication is that Carter chose me to host the show. So if you're booing my decision, you're really booing his decision. So. All right, should we get the show on the road then? All right. Your first two. I'm going to move over to the other mic and then tell you who your first two are.
So this first debate that you'll hear will be between Brandon Valley and Travis Libman.
All right. Can we please welcome Travis Libman? Okay, Travis, your question is from Sean Clark. Sean would like to know, who would get more Tinder matches, Atomic Blonde or Black Widow?
Oh, shit, I've never seen either of those action movies, so I'm kind of in deep shit here. I'm assuming both of them are female. I'm going to go with Atomic Blonde because blondes reportedly have more fun. A lot of fun, although I'm married to a blonde, and I would not say that's always the case. So you know what? I'm going to stick with Atomic Blonde for right now.
Okay, yeah, so Black Widow, she's Russian, so she's shifty, which I like in a woman. You know, I like someone that you can't trust because it just keeps things exciting and keeps you on your toes. You know, I get bored if I'm not, like, trying to break into their Facebook accounts and stuff like that. I just need something to do. I can't just have, like, a good relationship. It's boring as shit. And you know, I'm an S&M guy, like the leather outfit, pretty nice. Could use a gimp mask on that to really polish her off. Yeah, she would really hurt me real bad. That'd be nice too. That'd be good for me. I would like that. Yeah, I'd like to just like her to just like just shoot out of her little wrist and just shoot a butt plug right into me from like 5 feet away. That's 5 feet away, just marksman. So avenge my ass, thank you.
All right. So now I've never seen Black Widow, but I've seen Black Panther, so I don't know if this is like an affirmative action sort of thing for you. It could be. I am all about hiring either one for the Tinder. And I've never been on Tinder either, so this has really been quite a battle for me. But the Atomic Blondes, I'm going to go with. I just love blondes. And like I said, my wife is probably going to be listening to this eventually.
Time.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Black Widow, also friends with all the boys that I want to hang out with, too. So, like, especially if I'm trying to play both fields here, I get to go... Chris Hemsworth, hello, have you seen that? Have you seen his fucking body? Oh my God. I would like to get drunk with Chris Hemsworth and try to have him put on Black Widow's outfit. That would be a fucking dream for me. That would all I want. Thank you.
Okay. Gonna have to hand this one to Travis Lipman.
My feelings are hurt.
All right, next up we have Jim Whitman. Jim, your question is from Kevin M. Quigley. Would you rather be the hero's gadget guy or sex object?
I thought this was about action movies. Is this about comic books? I didn't know I was at Nerdfest 2018. First, Jesus Christ. I thought we were going to talk about Tango and Cash, and now I got to talk about Gadget Boy? Gadget Boy and who?
Sex object or gadget guy?
Well, I've been a sex object my whole life, so I'm going to go Gadget Boy because I got a fixed engine light on my car that's been on for about 40,000 miles. And as a gadget boy, I assume that I would know somebody with the right tools to help me fix the leaking gas line. So gadget boy it is.
All right, so I'm picking sex objects. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. All right. So I think I would be a great sex object, particularly for Superman. I think he's faster than a speeding bullet, which would help me in the bedroom for him being a sex object, and Batman as well. You know what? I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. So I think I'd make a good sex object, though, for a superhero. And I don't know.
Again, I was told we're debating action stars at Maggie's Lounge. Let me know if you'd be interested. So... I spent a lot of time, it was coincidental, I'd been watching Rambo 2, First Blood 2, when Sean sent the message. I was like, this is divine intervention. Obviously, I want to talk about action movies. Instead, who gave the question?
Kevin M. Quigley.
That piece of shit.
Time!
Well, Jim pretty much won this round, so that's all I got. So congratulations, Jim. That was great. That was good.
All right. By concession, it looks like our winner by default is Jim Whitman. Next up and last in our opening round, can we please have Valley D? First or second?
I'm going to go first again.
Okay. Your question comes from Sean Clark. Sean asks, who would win in a fight, the Terminator or RoboCop?
Ooh. It depends on... it's a hard argument to make because, as you know, the Terminator can travel back in time, not to be going back to the original question of stopping time. It provides a lot of opportunity to learn from his mistakes. RoboCop is genetically designed by scientists who had some free time, but he's limited by an oil change. Terminator would definitely win. Based on the fact that he can go back and try again, Terminator wins.
Good job, Jim.
I really appreciated that lesson because I didn't know who either of those people were. And now I know that they're the same. They're both cyborgs. So I feel like the one that was made later, like the later version, that is the one that would win. Like the iPhone 8 beats the iPhone 3. So Terminator? Does anybody know what year they were made? I think Terminator was later. Also, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, I think politically he would do better because he was a politician. He'd go back in time and he would... Wait, which one did you argue? Right, so what I said was RoboCop would win.
Time!
They are the same person in the end. She's right. The problem with RoboCop is that he was Detroit built, and nobody buys an American car or drinks the water there. RoboCop rusts up in a second. He craps out on the side of the road. Terminator wins just by name alone. Termination.
Good job, but Detroit is an amazing and underrated city, and the vibrance is coming back by the day. So first of all, that sucks. Also, second of all, it's Flint, Michigan. So I win on facts. Also, RoboCop is way more famous. I just don't know anything about him, so he wins on name alone. Thank you.
All right. Valley, at one point there you said that you win on facts, which makes me think you haven't seen how this works. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to give the win to Jim Whitman.
Oh, Valley,
Jim, you can sit down for a little bit. You have won the opening gauntlet. All right. Now we are going to get into what we legally cannot call the Sweet 16. All right. Next up. Can we please have Gloria Rose and Corey Saunders? Your question is from J.J. Buckland. He asks, if you were a cop one day from retirement, would you lay low or put yourself in as much danger as possible?
Yeah, I feel like if you only got one day to go, that's not the time to start, like, getting involved in shit. Like, what? Let's go to a crack house with known gun sellers and drug dealers? That sounds like a great time. No! I'm 65. I'm tired as fuck. I just want to go home and be old and, like, fart and have everyone go, oh, that's cute.
How many of you have called your grandparents today? How many of you? Give them a call, send them a note, you have it. Because this country has forgotten about its senior citizens. They're not down and out. Yeah, it's their one day from retirement, but they still got some chutzpah to give. All right, they're going to make a difference. They're going to do it today. They don't care what day it is, what week it is. They have a goddamn job to do. Thank you.
What kind of batshit life are your grandparents living? Like, I'm going hard at 30 where I don't sleep and, you know, maybe take questionable drugs and drink a lot. I want to make it through. I have a fat check coming. I can spend that on, like, vacations and have people touch my junk. I don't see why you'd want to fuck that up.
How dare you bring Nana and Pop into this? How dare you? Although I technically did first, but I brought it out of respect. All right. Sure, they're not your everyday old people, but who is? Are you an everyday old person? Is this argument going off the rails? It is! But we're one day from retirement, and we're riding this train straight to Crazy Town. Thank you.
All right, I gotta hand this one to Gloria Rose. All right. Next up, can we please have Sean Clark and Jeremiah Broderick? Your question is from Malin Pavletic. Malin asks, what is James Bond more likely to have? Chlamydia? Or a sizable portion of luggage space dedicated to condoms?
You know, I would say that he has the luggage space-sized luggage for condoms specifically because he has Q. I mean, the guy's thinking of everything. He's like, hey, Bond, this is a pen that shoots lasers. He's like, hey, what happens if I meet any strange foreign women in these countries? He's like, buddy, I got you covered. These are quandoms. They're condoms with a Q, and they also shoot lasers. So if you're having sex with her, like Xena in GoldenEye, he learned his lesson. He's just like, wow, so if there's a woman who's going to crush you, like this has like a little like springboard that's going to fly your legs off, and then you can find a woman who's good for you. Because Bond, you're at this for way too long, dude. Settle down. Like, we need to have a 008, 009, 0010. Like, I want grandchildren who I can also give exploding candy to. Because I'm a sick bastard. It's like, this is all I have.
Time.
Here's a small detail from those James Bond movies. Q really hates him. He really, not enough to kill him, like to give him exploding thing, definitely enough to poke a few holes. Q has a college degree, and he has to be the butler for this dude with very questionable qualifications. A license to kill? That's his one thing? No, you go to school, you earn your degree the right way. I'm going to poke holes in your condoms if I'm Q. He probably has chlamydia by now.
So what you're saying is he still gives them a luggage full of condoms. They just happen to have holes in them. So I'm a little right there, but let's face it. Even if Bond gets chlamydia, the guy literally survived having a laser going right at his crotch at the hands of Goldfinger. It's like, I think he could handle just going to the doctor and taking pills for a few days and just being honest with himself, relaxing, and just going through the cure. I mean, the guy...
Time.
The side I was asked to argue was, does James Bond have chlamydia? And there is no question. Look at that man's eyes. He has chlamydia. James Bond does not follow rules. He jets to countries without international law. He's not following a doctor's note. He definitely has chlamydia, and he's not sticking to those pills.
All right, well, this is a tough one. Because I'm still thinking about springboard condoms, I think I have to give it to Sean Clark. All right, and the final one for round one of the bracket. Can we please have Ted Pettengill and Jim Whitman? This question is from Sarah Morgan and Kim Margolis. So, like...
Oh, good. Another girl asking about action movies. Thank you, Bill.
You realize you can't win now, right? All right. Least believable action hero, Nicolas Cage or Liam Neeson?
How dare that even be presented? I get it. Ghost man? Ghost hunter? What was the one where his skull lit on fire? Ghost Rider. It was a ghost. Least believable is the Ghost Rider. There's no afterlife. What we are is what we are. There's no point of seeking revenge after. Imagine coming back after you're dead to be like, I still have work to do. No, it's over. Take the nap. As a former gravedigger, I appreciate the final be-all, end-all of the evermore, death. The ghost dude is not believable. Meanwhile, a father's love, definitely on board. There's nothing more sweet than the seeking a sweet revenge after a kidnapping from a non-American...
Time.
Nope, I am going to keep going. Because the goddamn Western European people are trying to tell my... You know what? You're right, Ted.
Of course Nick Cage is the more believable action star. Man's batshit crazy. You know how fucking crazy you'd have to be to fight an entire plane of convicts or cut off another man's face and then wear it as your face or be a ghost who rides a motorcycle? All things only a crazy person would do. Liam Neeson, biggest dick in Hollywood. He's too busy fucking to do any action.
I guess you never saw Love Actually. Thank you, Scott. Because what Liam had to overcome when his wife died and he had to raise some kid he had no association with. I mean, talk about being a hero. I mean, the second you can drop something you aren't responsible for, absolutely, but he stuck with it.
You're up here giving women shit, asking movies about action movies, asking questions about action movies. Let me start. You're up here giving the broad shit about asking about action movies, and you drop a Love Actually reference? Trade in your chest hair, my friend.
All right, well...
Sorry, yeah.
Do we keep going? I don't know. Yeah. All right, well, no, you had your say.
Did I?
Bring up Bill.
Bill, get up here.
Despite... Ted came close, but he didn't say something more sexist than you, so Ted wins.
I feel like a victim now.
All right. Next up, can I please have AJ O'Connell and Sarah Morgan? All right. Your question is from Rich Wentworth. Better backstory, dead partner or dead wife and kids?
I'm going to go for dead wife and kids because then you can just, like, also be trolling for ass while you're trying to gain sympathy for losing those that you love the most.
Hey, you can always be trolling for ass. You never know when your wife might die, so get out in front of it. And, you know, when you get the... Yeah, that's funnier than what I was going to say next.
That is one of the things they teach you in Action Hero School is ABT, always be trolling. Just never stop trolling. And that's basically what I have my whole argument hinged on. But I'm going to stand on the principle that you want them to die before you start trolling. It's ethics.
And it takes too long after. You gotta lay the groundwork. And this is what I was going to say before. It's not funny, but it's just fun to say. There was, because then you have like the new partner come in and like, oh, I don't have partners anymore. That's why I didn't say it. But it's like it's a fun point, just not funny. All right.
Did everybody just agree to go under time so that I could host for as little time as possible? All right, I'm going to have to give the win to Sarah Morgan. All right, next up, can we please have Battle of the Seans, Rosa and Clark? All right, your question is from Zach Jones. Which action hero archetype has aged more poorly? White person who steals artifacts from ancient cultures, or loose cannon cop who doesn't play by the rules?
I would say a loose cannon cop who doesn't play by the rules, just because look at what just happened with Starbucks. Like, a man just went to use the bathroom and he got arrested. Like, you're not even playing, you're even not... Even not playing by the right type of wrong rules these days. Like, he should be out there, like, you know, busting up smugglers without a warrant. But instead, he's like, no, I'm doing potty patrol right now. So you, sir, you need to buy a $15 20-ounce coffee that we say in Italian for some reason, or you need to get out. And also, the guy arrested this man wearing a bike helmet, if you saw the video. And, like, it's like they obviously drove in on a car because is he going to put him in, like, the basket like E.T. as he drives away? Like, so this action movie's not only just very terrible, it's also, like, just borrowing from, like, other elements. Yeah, I just think the real, real, real important thing is America runs on Duncan. Time.
Listen, you gotta have some hard-nosed, you know, Death Wish-type cops out there putting their lives on the line defending our Starbucks. We don't need Indiana Jones. No. Listen, all right. That cop might have been a dick in a Starbucks, but he didn't take his culture. He didn't steal something that belonged to his great great grandfather. You know?
Time. No, I think that the cop not playing by the rules aged poorly because people love Instagram. And Logan Paul is essentially just that jackass type of explorer who's going around just violating cultures. He's getting hundreds of thousands of likes. So people have an appreciation for that. Like, he's going into the sacred forest in Japan where people commit suicide. He's like, oh, hey, bros, look at this. YOLO, I guess he did. Ah. And people are just eating this up. He's getting 50,000 tweets.
Time.
You know what else is getting a whole bunch of likes? Fucking Blue Lives Matter bumper stickers. Like, that's an artifact of our culture that someone else needs to steal away from us.
All right. I think I have to hand this one to Sean Rosa. All right. All right, next up, can we please have Tyler Morrow and Gloria Rose? All right, your question is from Malin Pavletic.
Yeah.
Malin asks, who would win in a fight, Rocky or Rambo?
Well, definitely Rocky, because Rambo doesn't box, right? Like, I mean, that was like the Mayweather versus the Irish guy, right? That's the same thing. Where they were like, maybe he'll win. Like, no, he won't. That's a different sport. It makes no sense. If they had a gunfight, yeah, the other guy's dead. I get it, but no. I'm going Rocky.
All right, what really the question is here is where do you thrive, all right? Where do you be the best you, and where does Rambo be the best him? In the jungle, right? That is his domain. That is his place. He thrives in the wild, unexpected, surprising jungle. Jungle, whatever. Fix that in post. Rocky. Rocky thrives in the ring, the controlled, the box, the unobtainable ring. And what is the world? The world is a jungle, right? It's not a playpen for Rocky, it's a playground for Rambo. Thank you.
Yeah, they're going to fight in a ring, though. They're going because Rocky has a manager, and he's not going to sign on a contract to fight in the jungle. That's just stupid. That was like Mayweather. I think he like agreed to like smaller gloves, so I think it's the same thing here. It's like, I'm not going to fight in the Amazon. I'm not going to do it. Much better. I'm sorry I don't have as much energy as her. My bad. But yeah, that's my point.
I keep hitting my strongest point in the first part of the argument. So then I get to this part, I don't know what to say anymore. But I'm going to stick with my original metaphor that even if your ring is a ring, it's still in the real world, which is a real goddamn jungle. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to have to hand this one to Gloria Rose. You all clapped for her. Come on. All right. Next up, can I please have Ted Pettengill and Kevin Harrington? Ted, you want to go first or second?
I will go second.
All right. Your question is from someone who is not participating because they're hosting.
Jack Jones!
Would you rather have to keep your heart rate super fast like in Crank or have to keep a bus going super fast like in Speed?
I'd rather have to keep my heart going in Crank because Crank is an amazing movie. I like that justification that you have to do horrible things. Like, you have to beg people, like, you have to let me fuck this prostitute and do all this cocaine or I will die. And you could just, like, run down the street shooting people, throwing knives, lighting off fireworks, rebroadcasting cable without express permission because you need to feel alive. People, that's like the constant Make-A-Wish Foundation. You get cancer, you get one wish. If you don't if your heart stops and you die, people want you to live. They're just going to let you do anything. You can rob a bank. People are like, he's got to keep his heart rate going. Throw him into prison. It just everything will keep you going. I like to go 180 miles an hour. I want to be cranked out.
I would keep the bus going because nobody's ever seen Crank. Somehow there's a Crank 2, which is the superior sequel to Speed 2 Cruise Control. Man, my mouth is dumb tonight. I can't say any of the words. No, you got to keep the bus going, because that's a fun time. you just got to drive fast and honk the horn. Who doesn't want to drive a bus real fast? Fucking cranky. Oh, man, that's just a lot of exercise. You're going to get sweaty real quick and... just drive the bus. I feel like I really started to Bill McMorrow this. And I would be a cop who doesn't play by the rules, because Lethal Weapon, best friend of black guy. Die Hard, best friend of black guy. They're not playing by the kill black people rule. They're making them their best friends. Time.
Did anyone else take a bus down here? Because I sure as hell did. And the only thing more depressing than riding a fucking bus is driving people that are riding that depressing wagon. I want to go out as I lived, manic and on the verge of a heart attack, like this man over here. Get cranked up. At least you die like you lived. Excited.
I mean, Crank, Speed... they're both slang for amphetamines, and frankly, if I'm going to take a bunch of amphetamines, I want to be razor-sharp and focused and driving a bus real fast, getting people where they need to go, and then going right past it. Don't tell me what's depressing. You do enough speed, anything's fun.
All right, I'm going to have to hand this one to Kevin Harrington. Good try, Ted. Good try. All right. We are now in the semifinals. Can we please have Kevin Harrington and Gloria Rose? Your question is from Veronica Forker. The question is, you're a cop being assigned a new partner, even though you prefer to work alone. Would you rather be assigned a rookie fresh from the academy or a dog?
Oh, man.
This is a very difficult choice. I clearly the dog, because that way you can still kind of work alone. Also, I'm a huge Mad Max fan, and we know that he's got dog meat. A dog, they've got enhanced senses. A fucking rookie's going to have no skills to bring to the table. They're new. They're like, oh, what kind of gun can I get? You know, they're going to probably shoot you in the back, fucking up, going into a crack house. Dog is going to jump through the window, take down six of those guys before I even kick the door in. And, you know, a dog will probably take a bullet for you. I don't want to wound a dog. But, like, another fucking rookie taking a bullet, that's just depressing. A dog, they've got skills, they're going to watch your back, they're loyal, and they're fucking tough.
dog all the way.
I love my little pooch more than anything. I do. I want to spend all my time with him. I want to hang out with him. But you know what? You don't shit where you eat or where you work. All right? You got to compartmentalize your life. You leave the dog at home. You go home. What do you? Or you go to work. Fix it in post. You got a brand new rookie to mold in your image. So you know what? You've been doing this job a goddamn long time. You say you don't want it, but deep down, you're excited. Right? Because you get to... Yeah, that's right, sir. You're excited because you're like, I'm going to touch this person, like, in the brain, in the brain place, and I'm going to change their life, and I'm going to change mine, and I get to go home and snuggle with my dog. Thank you.
I think the true definition of partner is somebody that brings something to the table. You enhance each other. I don't want to waste my time making a new me because I find that to be kind of arrogant. Like, I don't need to be like my dad and just be like, you got to be good at sports so you can carry it on. I want that person to be their own person. A dog, we're going to complement each other. We're like thunder and lightning, shake and bake all the way. We're going to bring justice back to the streets of Quincy, and it's going to be adorable the whole time.
You know what's arrogant? Saying the best creature on earth should die for you. I'm not burying a dog. I will bury a human. Thank you.
Well, that's pretty succinct. Yeah, I think I got to give it to Gloria Rose for that one. All right, and then our final round. Can we please have Gloria Rose and Sean Rosa? Your question is from Zach Jones. I really drained any love from the crowd at this point. So the question is, James Bond, dashing heroic spy or imperialist sex pest?
James Bond has had numerous movies, right? That's, he has so many. And what's the one big takeaway we always have? He's fucking some lady. Right? That's his main thing you remember. I hate going first because I can't collect my thoughts, but you know, we're going to just lean into this. He's a real pest because he keeps changing his face and you never know which one he is. A 007, is it just a code name or is it the actual person? He's imperialist. He's going around places telling them how to do things. There's nothing dashing about that. Not my best. You're welcome.
007 is a code name. And that code is hot guy who fucks. Yeah. All the fucking. You have to be dashing to be James Bond, you know? You gotta be suave, sophisticated, aggressive. Okay, maybe don't be aggressive, but it works. It shouldn't, but it does. I mean, sure, it's just like this weird male power fantasy, but he's fucking.
What you just described is a fuckboy. Right? Fuckboy, that's a new buzzword for y'all. Fuckboy, he thinks he's dashing, he thinks he's suave. What's he leaving? A trail of broken hearts and possibly chlamydia. He's just spreading disease, he's spreading the Western imperialistic thought process, he's spreading Western STDs just across the globe. There's an epidemic of tiny Bonds all over the world growing up without a father. Thank you.
Listen, no matter how much my opponent tries to appeal to our host's communist sensibilities, James Bond fucks.
All right, I gotta hand this one. The winner is Sean Rosa. All right, Sean, stay up because because if Sean does this when he's the host, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to face you in the final round. Is Bill still here?
No.
I was going to give him a chance at redemption. All right, who wants to? Ted. Ted, come on up.
Woo! This is actually fun. I can pick a real winner and not arbitrarily make Carter lose. All right. Sean, do you want to go? Sean wants to go second.
All right.
Handing me a card?
You could have picked any three. You just picked the one that I handed you.
Okay. Wait. You want it back to read it?
Yes.
Okay. How's this show work again? All right.
It's Anarchy, another lost episode.
All right.
Steve Albert asks, who is more likely to be in an Expendables movie? An Expendables movie? I don't think I could say that word normally, and my mouth is being real dumb tonight. Who is more likely to be in an Expendables movie? Woody Harrelson or Ted Danson?
I think Ted Danson should be in a Expendables movie. Number one, you guys know Ted Danson's 70 years old and he still looks like that. He's invincible. He can't be stopped. Oh my God, he gets more attractive with age. I don't know. Have you seen what's happening to Woody Harrelson? He's like, I think they touched, like, on the set of Cheers, they touched an omen at the same time and opposite things happened to them. So now Ted looks great. Nothing's going to stop Ted Danson. Also, he was a great pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
I don't like how quickly the power's gone to Zach Jones' head. This show corrupts people. Listen, Woody Harrelson would be better in The Expendables because with him being in The Expendables, he finally has the opportunity to show that white men can jump.
Zach, you have 30 seconds.
All right. First of all, if you're worried that the power of hosting is going to my head, it's definitely not going to happen again. So no worries about that. Also, that's pretty much what White Men Can't Jump is about. I think you just went, I don't think you've seen that movie and you just went with what the title was and switched it from can't to Ken, because he can jump in that movie. I'm just going to go look at pictures of Ted Danson, because it's really amazing the way that he looks these days. 70 years old!
He may be 70 years old, but can't jump.
That's true. He has very bad hips for a 70-year-old man. I'm a little disappointed that neither of you brought up the fact that Woody Harrelson's father was an actual hitman for like a drug cartel, and he shot a federal judge and was convicted of that crime and was literally an expendable. For a drug cartel. He was an expendable member of a drug cartel, and they made him shoot a federal judge. Real thing that happened. He also claimed to have shot JFK. Probably didn't happen.
Wasn't
just on a lot of cocaine. So Sean Rosa wins.
Wasn't his dad like the basis for Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men or something like that?
What?
I think that's what I heard.
I'm sorry. Do you guys forget how this podcast goes? It ends after the last debate.
No, this is a new podcast. This is conspiracy time. Yeah, Ted and Sean.
Yes. Stay tuned for Talking Debates with Chris Hardwick coming on next. All right. Thank you guys very much for coming out. This has been Pick a Side, Stupid. We are here the first, second, and third Friday of every month, and starting next month, the fourth Thursday. So we are just piling them on. Please come back. Usually Sean hosts, and he has his shit together. Thank you very much for coming out. And give it up once more for Sean Rosa, your winner.
That was Pick a Side, Stupid. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Hey, it's Sean Cotter again. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. That helps us grow. Maybe you don't live near Quincy. You'd like for us to come to you. If we get bigger, we can go to more venues. So hop on there and just takes a minute. And it'll help us out a lot. I want to say thanks to Zach Jones for hosting this week. And thanks to Anthony Massa, who drew up the artwork. Check out that little thumbnail right there that pops up with this episode. That was Anthony Massa. And congrats to Sean Rosa on his win this week. We'll be back again the first, second, and third Friday of every month at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy. And now check us out the following Thursday. The fourth week of the month will be there on Thursday. Rest assured, there's comedy every Friday of the month at 7 p.m. at Maggie's Lounge. If we're not there with the debate, then it's Corey Manning running a show there the last Friday of the month. So come by, check us out. Great beer selection, great pizza. Friendly bar, and I hope to see you there soon.